Hello and welcome to the Draftastic Deep Penetration Podcast. This is Forrest, owner of the Unibros, and today I'm talking about the last games of the season, the playoffs and playoff predictions, and the Draftastic regular season championship. All right, let's get ready to podcast! Okay, so every media member's favorite gripe the last few days is that Denver manipulated the standings to avoid Golden State and Houston by tanking and playing the players at the end of their bench instead of their starters. And Denver's manipulation was so masterful that they tricked Portland into a heroic come-from-behind win on the last night of the season using only the last six players off of their bench, led by Anfernee Simons, Scalabissier, and timely plays from Myers Leonard. So what I keep hearing is that this is ruining the end of the NBA season. I'm pretty sure that was Ryan Russillo's take. Zach Lowe keeps talking about how the basketball gods are going to punish Denver for all of this manipulation, and that Portland was punished for trying to manipulate the game. You know, don't mess with the game or the game will mess with you, what I think that was Mike Richmond kept saying on his podcast, and Portland messed with the game and the game messed with them. What I don't understand is that it's everybody's saying that they could tell that Portland wanted OKC because Terry Stott said, it would have been nice if we could have gotten to the second seed. And then maybe some body language, you know, scholarship or something about maybe Stotts didn't look as gleeful as they thought he should have if he wanted to play Oklahoma City. I don't know. The thing that is driving me nuts about this is that Portland could have easily just lost that game if they wanted to. They wouldn't have even had to say, like, all right, guys, go and, like, just turn the ball over every time you get the ball. They played a crew of guys that had a lot of practice time together. Simons, Labissier, all those guys, that's the crew that runs against the starters in practice. They're spending time together. They have chemistry. So just mess that up a little bit. Play Seth Curry with them and with Simons and make them fight over who has the ball, who's going to get shots. I mean, if you really want to lose the game, then you mess up everything you can, and I think that'll happen just fine, especially if you're down 28 points. The other thing is, like, was Portland, is it impossible that Portland thought, well, Houston and OKC are both equally good and bad matchups. Maybe we'd possibly feel like we're better against Utah because we've split that series. But what's priority is getting Lillard and the rest of the starters a good amount of rest, because we've gone into playoff series in the past where we weren't fully healthy and that didn't work out so well. And we'll let the cards fall where they may with Simons and company playing the bulk of the minutes. That, to me, just makes a lot more sense. Especially when Sacramento was clearly just going to play their bench in the second half. Stotts was going to have to do a lot to... I don't know. I guess maybe I'm making excuses, but I am a little bit baffled by how the narrative that we desperately wanted to play anybody other than Oklahoma City has now been taken as, like, a fact, when I think there's plenty of evidence. Or, I mean, I just think the evidence for that is a little bit scanty. And the other thing is, people keep talking about how this is ruining the end of the basketball season for them, which drives me nuts, because, like, how is Anfernee Simons supposed to get any time and get any development if he's on a, you know, he's drafted by a good team, so good teams shouldn't draft good players and play them when there are games that are largely meaningless. I mean, Portland had home court locked up. Denver was going to have home court and was going to be in the top probably one or two seeds. I just don't buy that all of this is solely based on manipulating playoff matchups. I mean, I'm sure that Denver is happy to not be in Golden State's bracket, and I'm sure that Portland is probably happy to not be in Golden State's bracket, and so is OKC. But I'm also sure that Portland is taking OKC very seriously and knows that it's going to be tough, especially with George and Westbrook, and not having Nurkic. Is Utah really a better matchup? Like, Cantor versus Gobert is suddenly like much more ideal than Cantor versus Steven Adams. I get that Utah doesn't have a Russell Westbrook or Paul George caliber, like, tested player, but I think the takes about Portland versus Houston would have been exactly the same as the takes that are being floated about Portland versus Oklahoma City. It would be how is Portland going to deal with the traps against Damian Lillard, and Enes Kanter is a defensive liability, and Gobert is just going to dunk on him all the time. And I guess I'm skeptical that Portland was really, really cared that deeply between the two. All right. And I was there that last night of the season with my son, and everybody was having a good time. You probably could see that too. The bench, everybody loved watching Simons and Labissiere go off. It didn't strike me as a team that was super anxious about what this win might mean about their playoff chances. So, I don't know. And I don't think that that's ruining basketball to allow for those magical things to happen with guys who don't have a lot of experience. I think it was pretty cool to watch, to see Labissiere play against Marvin Bagley, or it was a little bit sad to see Swanigan, who looks like he's gained some weight back. But I was good to see him. I was happy to see that. I think Denver's probably glad to get Isaiah Thomas some run, just so he doesn't go into the playoffs sulking and messing with their locker room. It sounds like he's been a good locker room guy all season, but, you know, now that he's healthy and they're in the playoffs, I could see that possibly becoming an issue. So I just don't buy that this is bad for the game or bad for the end of the season, that teams have a little bit of time to get some extra reps in for guys who don't play a lot, especially the top teams. I want the stars healthy going into the playoffs, and I want the benches to be on their game as well. So I think it's good for that stuff. And it's fun as a Draftastic owner to see some of those end of the bench guys get some run and do a little bit of scouting. It's like a little bit of pre-summer league. So that's my rant about playoff matchup manipulation at the end of the season, or so-called. All right, so now on to the playoffs. I'm going to talk you through my bracket. I'm going to talk you through the first round of my bracket. I'm going to give you my prediction for the series. But more importantly, I'm going to predict what the narrative coming out of the series will be. I'm taking it a step further. Without further ado, Golden State versus LA Clippers is going to Golden State 4-1, and the narrative coming out of that is Golden State is not having fun anymore. or maybe just not having fun. Yeah, I see Patrick Beverley and Montrezl Harrell, messing a bit with, the joy. Well, I mean, I don't know if that's really been there too much for Golden State this year, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a dour series for them. Even though they're going to kind of roll, Houston, Utah, I am picking Utah 4-2, and the narrative coming out of that will be that Utah cheats, which I think will be full of irony. I think maybe there'll be a play or two that are suspect from one Ricky Rubio or Joe Ingles, possibly. I think Chris Paul is going to and James Harden are going to have a lot to complain about, and it definitely won't be their fault that they didn't win the series, at least according to them. Next one, no surprise, I'm predicting Portland. I'm predicting it 4-3 going to Portland. Winning in seven, and George, the narrative coming out is going to be that George was never healthy enough to play. I'm not saying that. Well, I mean, I don't know if he's healthy or not, but that's what I'm gonna suspect, that the Portland winning is going to be because of OKC's failure to get George healthy, rather than Portland being so much better. And then last in the West is, I'm predicting, Denver to win 4-2 over the Spurs, and this is a bit of wishful thinking. The narrative coming out will be that, LaMarcus would like to, leave San Antonio once again. Things there are just not as rosy as he'd like, and so he would like out. All right, so that's the West, and here's my Eastern playoff predictions. Milwaukee-Detroit, I'm predicting a sweep for Milwaukee, and Giannis wins the 2019-2020 MVP by just dominating this series. Or maybe that, yeah. I debated doing Giannis wins the finals MVP by dominating this series. They're already giving it to him. But I think that's maybe a little bit still up in the air. So I'm going with 2019-2020 MVP gets won in the first round of the 2018-2019 playoffs. Or at least that's the narrative through the summer. Boston, Indiana. I'm picking Boston 4-2 over Indiana, and the narrative coming out of that one is that Boston's fixed everything. Everybody's happy, and they love playing together. And Kyrie's going to re-sign, and they all think that's a good thing. And Gordon Hayward is fixed, and everything's fine. Philadelphia, Brooklyn. I'm predicting Brooklyn in six, and something, narrative coming out of there is that something stinks in Philadelphia. Something is not right. And that something may or may not be that they have a bunch of good players who are selfish and not great chemistry guys. And then lastly, Toronto, Orlando. I've got Toronto in five. And the narrative coming out of this is Kawhi is doing load management in the playoffs. And the speculation about, like, what does that mean about Kawhi as a competitor or his health? That's going to be the narrative there. They're going to get up maybe 3-0, and Kawhi's going to sit down a game, and they're going to drop one. So those are my first round playoff predictions and narrative predictions. And so lastly, we'll just touch briefly. Sintoni won, the Blind Pigs won the Draftastic Championship, and that puts Sintoni, I believe if I read the standings right, that makes puts him into fifth place, so I'm sure he's thrilled about that. Going into the playoffs, it looks like it's still a pretty close race between the 7 Minutes and Touch Reverse Box, though 7 Minutes likely is going to run away with it with his Giannis and whatnot. And let's see. Anything else that I want to touch on there? I think I'd like to point out that the proposed points does have the Unibros in second place. And so, you know, I'm taking some consolation there. Yeah, actually, it is a very close race still between Touch Reverse Box and 7 Minutes. It's just 1 point separating them. So that'll be fun to watch as the season comes to an end. We've got sort of a race between the Fluffheads and the Unibros for that third seed. I think we're probably... Fluffheads is a little bit more within striking distance, but we're probably both kind of out of it for the first and second spot. Sean Kemp's Kids is doing a fine job of tanking. You know, they're really committed to putting their odds, making sure that they have the same odds as Bowski's Ballers and the Tony Brothers. Sorry, Jeremy, got to get a little extra dig in there. You know, just got to keep poking the bear until you get a podcast, and then I'll probably, I don't know, I'll find a different hobby, I guess. Yeah, so I think that'll probably do it for today. I wish I had a guest on. I'll try to get a guest on in the near future. Maybe someone can do a podcast with me even for tomorrow's game. That would be super sweet. I don't know. We'll see. All right, but I'll talk to you guys all later, and let's go Blazers.